my name is Karina, and I'm here on the Pitch House podcast talking to the visionary filmmaker and personal hero of mine, Mr. Spike Lee. We're here to talk about his tremendous new film, BlacKkKlansman, which sticks an unbelievably true story on the map of American history. Unnervingly relevant, Spike's film is a satirical reaction to the current state of American politics and enjoys connecting the dots between Hollywood representations and the stereotypical treatment of African Americans. This 1970s story sees Ron Stallworth, played by the icy cool John David Washington, as the first African-American detective to serve in the Colorado Springs Police Department. His first mission? To infiltrate the extremist white-hooded hate group, the Ku Klux Klan. Using his fellow cop buddy, Flip Zimmerman, as his avatar, played brilliantly by Adam Driver, the two go undercover for an investigation that's so crazy it might just work. Produced by Jordan Peele of Get Out fame, let's hear more about this absurd yet outstanding film by the man who made it all come to life, Mr. Spike Lee. So we're here talking to the peerless director Spike Lee, and last night we had proudly screened BlacKkKlansman across all of our cinemas. We were the second biggest box office of the film, and we're no stranger to your films over at Pitch House. We did your Spike Lee is 60 retrospective last year, which was very, very good. I mean, how did that feel?
Oh, that
what
was
a way
great.
To celebrate.
It was great. I always have a good time when I come to London.
So tell us about BlacKkKlansman. How did you get this?
Jordan Peele of Get Out fame called me out of the blue, said, I want to tell you something, and you might be interested in, and it gave me one of the shortest pitches I've ever heard in my life. 6 words. Black man infiltrates KKK. Ku Klux Klan. First I said, is it true? And then I said, this sounds like that David Chappelle skit. And he said, no. It's a true story. His name is Ron Stallworth. He became the first African-American to make it into the Colorado Springs Police Department. And then on top of that, he infiltrated the Ku Klux Klan. That's how it started.
It's a fascinating story.
Yes, it's one of those things where you shake your head and say, you know, is this true? But it is. Strange, but true.
The release was strategically poignant. We have literally 1 year from Charlottesville to now, and it works so brilliantly and poignantly, and it really brings it home as to this is still going on. Don't sleep.
Get woke.
Exactly. Is that hard to do a film in that amount of time? Are you used to it by now?
We didn't have to rush, but there was an urgency. And I think that what people responded to is the urgency in the making of the film, the urgency in the actors, the urgency of the publicity, the one sheet. The original one sheet with John David with the hood over his afro with the black power fist in one hand and an afro pick in the other. So there was a...
But you didn't feel rushed. You did. She's got to have it in, what, 12 days?
Yeah. I just knew that. Got to get this done.
And you have an excellent cast. We have John David Washington, Adam Driver, all excellent. But I want to big up Patrice Duman's character, Laura Harriet. She's actually one of the fictional characters in the true story.
She is a combination of Angela Davis, Kathleen Cleaver, those strong women who were part of the Black Panther movement back in the day.
And I really think that she does a very good job of representing that female force in the movement,
which was needed.
Tell us about that character, and did you feel that you landed the ambitions for that role?
I think we were very successful. We flew Kathleen Cleaver, a law professor at Emory University in Atlanta, so she came up for a day and spent time with us, specifically with Laura, so she could just ask her questions and try to get in the mindset of what is being a Black woman and the Panthers at that time.
I think she was fantastic. She really nailed it. In terms of the female representation in the film, she's brilliant. Personally, I feel like there's a lot of films out there at the moment which are exploring the Black American experience we've got in a post-Get Out world. And now you've got Blindspotting and Sorry to Bother You and Dear White People, obviously going a little bit further back. Have you noticed that change? I mean, you've been doing this for years anyway, ever since... You know, you've been telling us to wake up since school days, right?
Right. The last words of school days, wake up, uttered by Lawrence Fishburne. And the first 2 words of the following film, uttered by Samuel Jackson, wake up.
Do you think we are finally getting out of bed? Is it the green lighters? Because the storytellers always have been there.
Well, I think more people are getting woke now. And that's a good thing. We have to be conscious to what's happening in the world we live in.
I agree. So 10-minute standing ovation in Cannes, awards. What does that mean to you? Does that feel you with pride or anxiety or hope?
Well, it felt very good, that ovation. I can't tell you how long it was because it was like a surreal moment. To me, it was like on a minute. They say 6 minutes, they say 10. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not worried about it. It was a great, great reception. Anytime you go to Cannes, you know, there's no guarantees. You go one way or go the other way. So I'm very good it went that way.
Here at Pitch House, we're big cinema fans. We love watching narratives up on the big screen where they belong. What's your relationship with cinema personally? Do you still go to the cinema?
I go to the movies all the
time. Date night?
And I'm also a film professor. I'm beginning my 17th year of teaching film at the best film school in the world, Tisch School of Arts, New York University Graduate Film School. Getting ready to start class. So film is my life. I mean, I'm a cinephile. If you look at Black Klansman, referring to cinema with the films like Gone with the Wind, Birth of a Nation, Shaft, Superfly.
I love in particular the conversation where they're having, talking about blaxploitation films and the fact that you open with the Birth of a Nation. There's so much punctuation of our culture and media and cinema, but it feels like you are holding it to responsibility, and so I believe it should.
I think that when these films are talked about, we cannot leave out the social, political impact of the films. I think a professor, a teacher who shows Birth of a Nation to his or her class and just talks about the attributes of D.W. Griffith, who many people consider the father of cinema, many people acknowledge he's the one that came with film grammar. That is all true. But if you leave out the fact that this film, Birth of a Nation, revitalized the Klan, which had been dormant, and this rebirth of the Klan led directly to Black people being lynched, that cannot be left out. If you're doing that, then you shouldn't show the film if you don't, get put in proper perspective.
And you're recognizing the power in cinema, the fact that it can up the membership of the Klan.
Yes, and then we have this wonderful scene I love with the late, great Kwame Ture, and he talks about his experience of going to Saturday matinees and rooting for Tarzan against Native people. And that scene, we did not write that. Those are all his words from his various speeches.
I loved also seeing Harry Belafonte, which I think is one of my favorite scenes as well, and it's really starting to bring back the poignancy and the reality that you are not letting us forget. And I think for that is an incredible piece of film that
thank you.
Does need to be watched by everyone.
Let me ask you a question. When did you first see the film?
So I've seen it three times. My relationship with the film has been very interesting because I first saw it at Cannes and you get that audience. Then I saw it at a press screening. So you get half press, half plus ones. And then last night was at Pitch House Central watching the broadcast.
With the people.
And it's such a different relationship. And I remember when I first watched it, observing how the audience were responding to it at first, and especially being one of the only people of color in that audience and observing the laughter slowly die out. And then slowly people being like, can I laugh at this?
We had a situation like that earlier, Bamboozled, where I would be in the audience and I see white people looking around, like looking at Black people, like, is it okay if I could laugh? But we had that dynamic too.
And I certainly looked at the audience yesterday just from that very end scene of Charlottesville with the news footage and seeing it up on that big screen wrapped around all your senses. Again, goosebumps. Tears.
Ever cry at any of the three times you saw it?
I did cry at the second time.
What happened the first and the third time? What happened last night?
Well, this is what's been great about it. Every time I've watched it, there's been another layer to appreciate. Mm-hmm. So the conversations that you're having with the media, the conversations that you're having with old school Hollywood, up to the conversations about culture, representation, and then just the baseline of the actual story that happened. And there's a podcast which you must listen to, and I have to big it up, Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Yeah.
2.5-hour podcast, they go in on everything that I needed to know, feel, and appreciate about the backstory of your film.
They did it already?
Yeah, they did it already.
What's it called?
Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
I'll check it out.
I guess just going back to actual cinema, what was the last film that you saw at the cinema?
Black Panther.
This has been an incredible year for people of color on screen.
But here's the thing though, we don't want to be like this happens once every 10 years. This has to be not a trend. This has to be something that's a daily occurrence. Like, not this month. My wife told me about how there's like 12 magazines with the Black ones on the cover. That's not going to be next month. Why? Because we're not in those gatekeep positions of who decides who's on the cover. That's where the next battle is. That is the next frontier. To get in those gatekeeping positions of power where people decide who's on the cover, what films are making, who's going to direct it, who's going to star in it, who's going to write it, or not. That's the next one.
So let's see about your next film. Have you got anything in the works?
Not yet. No, I got school in September.
You don't strike me as a man that takes a break.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I know Karina. That's not the first time you heard that.
That's not the first time, and it won't be the last. But
shucks.